and welcome to TwerpCast, episode 48, HornetCast. Today, we'll be reviewing the Seth Rogen Green Hornet movie and discussing the impending DVD release. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Bruce Lee's bastard love child, executive producer of TwerpCast, Jim Caswell.
That's strange, because that's Doug Zeitlin, and I've always seen him as the Van Williams to my Bruce Lee. Also joining us is Ken Halloran.
Who's Adam West to their Bruce Lee and Van Williams.
Jim, my question to you is this a reboot for the new generation, and is it successful in doing that?
I'm sure that my opinion is going to be different than Ken's opinion in the second part of that. Yes, this is a reboot.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
This is neither the 1940s radio version of Green Hornet or the late 60s Van Williams Green Hornet, nor is it the 1980s comic book version, which me and five other people probably know about. So yes, the idea behind this is we're going to introduce this particular character to a brand new audience who have probably never even heard of him, let alone been fans of him. As for its successfulness or not, I don't think it really was. I think that this was more of a Seth Rogen wears a mask film than necessarily a good Green Hornet film. I think it was closer to The Cato Show than it was to Green Hornet.
If it was The Cato Show, it makes it more in line with the 60s Green Hornet show than you're giving it credit, after all, in Hong Kong. It was The Cato Show. I don't know what to call success. I mean, did they tell the story? Did they reboot the story? Yes, they successfully rebooted the story. Did they make it a sustainable story enough that there's call for a second film, a series of films, a franchise? No, probably not. I don't think it was that strong a movie.
Jim, I think you've underestimated the general popularity of the Green Hornet character. I think there are people from each generation that you mentioned that really would consider themselves fans of Green Hornet, whether it be the radio program, whether it be the movie serials, the comic book, or the Van Williams television show. I think there is a fan base.
So you think it's larger than just five?
I really do think it's larger than just five. Now, maybe not larger than 500. Seriously, I think that this is a well-known, well-established character. It's not like you're trying to go to DC Comics and say, who's the bug-eyed monster?
Bug-eyed bandit. Oh, but that more to the point.
Perfect. It's the bug-eyed bandit. People don't know the Bug-Eyed Bandit.
People know the name Green Hornet. There is a marketability factor. That said, I don't know if there's anyone out there under the age of 35 who really has a sense of the Green Hornet anymore.
I would agree that they don't have a good sense of the Green Hornet. I would say it's part of the collective consciousness that people recognize there was this superhero character called the Green Hornet without actually knowing the history behind it.
I'm wondering how many of them went to see the movie and went, where's the power ring?
They weren't looking for a power ring, they were looking for a bow and arrow.
Another good example.
Still think that it's too much of an underestimation of the character. It's possible that my estimation is too high for the character. I think people recognize the Green Hornet.
Honestly, I hope that they do. I have a deep love for this particular character, and I would love to think that there are more people out there who can share my affection for this character.
As to my second question, was this a success? As its own unique entity, as a Seth Rogen Green Hornet vehicle, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time. I laughed at the parts that were supposed to be funny. I was on the edge of my seat during the scenes that were supposed to be action-packed. I found the movie as a unique entity successful. Do I think it adds to the franchise? Do I think that this is going to be an ongoing series of movies? No, not really. I don't think it struck a chord with the American consciousness the way Spider-Man did, or the way Batman Begins did, or the way X-Men did.
Yeah. And the other thing is, and I'm just going to get this out there now, I'm a Green Hornet fan, but I'm not the level of Green Hornet fan you are. You're the one who keeps track in your head of how Britt Reed is related to when they actually tried to rectify the 40s Green Hornet with the 60s Green Hornet and make it all make sense. A bunch of writers sat down and worked it out. And you've got that in your head. I mean, you are that big a fan, and that level of fan is out there. That level of fan is out there for any existing franchise.
I do it for Green Hornet. Other people do it for the Chicago Bears.
Yes. And I think that was one of the things is that, like Doug, I enjoyed the movie. I laughed when I was supposed to laugh. I found it exciting when I found it exciting. The fact that it wasn't my Green Hornet or my father's Green Hornet, and I do mean that in a literal sense, then again, Ben Williams wasn't my father's Green Hornet. He had no interest in the TV show. His Green Hornet was the guy on the radio. The fact that it wasn't any of those Green Hornets didn't faze me in the slightest. You, it bugged.
Honestly, as long as we're getting into what bugged me about the Green Hornet, I think one of the big things that bothered me both before I saw the movie and after I saw the movie was the what I felt to be a lack of giving the character the honor that he was due. He didn't strike me as this person who's going on out to do a heroic thing because he has heroic tendencies, or because of with great power comes great responsibility, or any of these other things. It just struck me as, hey, this looks like it would be a lark. To me, that's not a reason a hero would become a hero unless his name is Booster Gold.
I think that talks to the point of script writing. At the beginning of this movie, Britt Reed is doing it because he can. He's doing it for the same reason the mountain's there. He has the ability to do it. By the end of the movie, he's supposed to be redeemed, and actually you're supposed to see that this character really believes in what he's doing and what he stands for.
This really was Green Hornet Begins, or supposed to be at least.
So speaking to the writing, what I hear you saying is it did that unsuccessfully.
To a certain degree, yes. I did see that that was the direction that it was supposed to get carried. I just didn't 100% feel like it got there. If this was The Green Hornet Begins, I didn't see any of the previous incarnations picking up where this story left off. I saw that this character would continue on being a little bit silly, relying heavily on his sidekick, generally trying to do the right thing in his own unique way.
So this brings me back to the question that I skipped earlier. Is this a tribute to what came before? Do you think this was respectful to the character?
I think it was very respectful to the character of Kato. I don't know how respectful it was to the character of Britt Reed.
I think there were multiple things going on. First of all, I have seen that there are certain people who never had that much respect for the Britt Reed character in the first place. Because, going back to what I said about in Hong Kong, it was the Kato show. On the old TV show, Kato, played by Bruce Lee, got to do all the physical stuff, where it fell to the Hornet to do the brain work, but most of the actual, okay, time to beat up the bad guys. You've got Bruce Lee. You have Bruce Lee beat up the bad guys.
You don't waste your time having Van Williams throw a clumsy punch when you can have Bruce Lee fly through the air and kick somebody right in the teeth.
Essentially, yes. So, as far as that goes, I think the not respecting Britt Reed was already in a portion of the public consciousness to begin with. Those of us familiar with the radio show understand that that wasn't necessarily what they were going for, but honestly, it had crept into the public consciousness well before this movie.
I will agree with that. I'm fully willing to acknowledge the fact that Van Williams was not a stronger performer than Bruce Lee. Of course, at the time, very few people could have stood next to Bruce Lee.
Never mind the fight stuff. Bruce Lee has more screen charisma than Van Williams will ever have.
Oh, yeah.
But the other part of that is, and this goes back to what we were saying before about public consciousness and what I had said before about there aren't going to be fans of the Green Hornet under the age of 35. There are too many people in Hollywood who know Green Hornet is a name. Everything Doug was saying before about they know the name, they know it was a superhero, but they don't know the meat and potatoes of the character. They don't know the details. And it's those people that are calling the shots on the movie. It's not one person's vision, no matter how much we'd like to think that it was this director's vision or this producer's vision or whatever. Movies are designed by committee, and to some degree, I think it showed. From everything I've read online, it showed. This goes back to one of the other questions on here. My understanding is that the early drafts of the film were more respectful, and the money people looked at it and said, there's not enough Seth Rogen here.
Just to go more to your point, this movie went through more directors, more writers, more Katos. Stephen Chow is one of my favorite Hong Kong director actors. He was attached to direct and play Kato and disappeared from the movie over creative differences.
Kevin Smith wrote the original screenplay and was set to direct, except for he left because of creative differences.
I won't say that, yes, it was respectful to the character, but I won't say that there weren't people who wanted it to be. There were enough signs that I think there were people who wanted it to be respectful to the character. And I will even concede that Seth Rogen may have been one of them and was instructed to not play it that way. I don't know for sure, but it would be consistent with some of the rumors I've heard.
potentially this could be death by committee.
Yes.
There are very few people in Hollywood who command final cut on a movie. And even those range the gamut of good to bad. You've got your James Camerons, and you got your George Lucases. And when you make a movie by committee, you end up with Highlander 2s.
Or 3s, or 4s, or what was the one that you guys loathe that I've never seen?
The Source and Count Your Blessings.
I've never seen Highlander Count Your Blessings.
It would have to be a better film.
I think Ken has brought us to a perfect segue talking about Seth Rogen as Britt Reed. Did Seth Rogen play Britt Reed, or did Seth Rogen play himself?
I have very little doubt in my mind that Seth Rogen was playing Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen seems to play Seth Rogen in whatever he is in. Now, there are some actors that do that, and they are very successful at it. John Wayne is an excellent example. Tom Cruise.
You've obviously never seen The Conqueror.
Oh, I have seen The Conqueror. I've tried desperately to put it out of my memory, and it just won't leave.
How about The Greatest Story Ever Told? I've got just one thing to say to you about John Wayne and The Greatest Story Ever Told.
Yes?
Surely this was the Son of God.
Don't call me Shirley.
Again, when John Wayne was playing John Wayne, he was phenomenal. You ask him to play Genghis Khan? Oh, Lord, was it bad.
I love Sean Connery, but he has one accent. Sean Connery.
Tom Cruise, on a regular basis, plays Tom Cruise.
Most big, successful actors are playing themselves more than they are acting. I mean, Cary Grant was known for playing Cary Grant. If you wanted Cary Grant in a film, it's because you wanted Cary Grant in a film.
The irony here is, if you can actually act, they call you a character actor, and you end up in bit parts.
Exactly.
One of the greatest character actors of our time that I can think of off the top of my head is Christopher Lloyd.
Yes, nobody goes to a Christopher Lloyd movie.
True enough.
Yet everybody knows who Doc Brown is.
Yes.
Now, all of this being said, there is a part of me that feels a bit sacrilegious about comparing Seth Rogen to John Wayne and Cary Grant and Sean Connery, because I just don't think that he's in their standard of emoting ability.
No, but he's a comedian, and you don't go to an Eddie Murphy movie to see Eddie Murphy act. You see Eddie Murphy movies to see Eddie Murphy.
It's not a new thing.
Charlie Chaplin.
Going back to Charlie Chaplin, I really love Abbott and Costello, and they always played Abbott and Costello in every movie, and hence the name of the movies were always Abbott and Costello and something else. But the one who killed it for me was Jim Carrey, because they tried to portray Jim Carrey as a serious actor, and Jim Carrey just does Jim Carrey well, and that's it.
The thing is that I've seen Jim Carrey in enough things where he's one of those comedians who does try to do other characters beyond Jim Carrey. Unfortunately, they are rarely as successful as Jim Carrey. And therefore, a lot of producers who cast him tell him to be Jim Carrey rather than asking him to be a character.
And as I said, according to rumors I've heard, that's what happened with Rogen. That he wanted to play it closer to traditional Britt Reed and was told, no, we want more Seth Rogen.
I could see Seth Rogen trying to sneak Britt Reed in. Yes, I agree. He did a very good job of playing Seth Rogen. But at the same time, I really think that the success of the movie was based on the fact that he was able to sneak Britt Reed in when he needed to.
I don't know. I've never seen any other Seth Rogen films, so I don't actually know what the Seth Rogen character is.
I would say the next best Seth Rogen film really is Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
That is a funny movie. I will give you that. Strangely enough, it is also a Kevin Smith film.
Isn't that the one where they're kind of using the old Mickey and Judy, hey kids, let's put on a show plot, except instead of a musical number, they're doing porno?
That particular plot also entails we have to raise money, and that's why we're doing this show, right?
Yeah.
Then yes, they're trying to make Rent.
That's a stage musical.
Yeah, but they're doing it with no clothes on.
From everything I've heard of Rent, I'm not sure that's necessarily out of line.
But yes, he was good in that, and he was playing Seth Rogen. I have seen a few things of Seth Rogen, playing Seth Rogen, that I found humorous, I laughed at. It's not that I'm completely against Seth Rogen. It's the fact that...
It wasn't Britt Reed, we get that.
Yeah. I was waiting for Britt Reed to roll up a doobie and smoke it. So in that regard, yeah, he was loyal to Britt Reed, and not playing himself.
How about Jay Chou as Kato?
I had no problem with him, not knowing Jay Chou from Adam.
Adam was a little taller.
Thank you. But he was fine. He was playing both Kato and he was playing Seth Rogen's straight man, and he did a competent job at it.
I think he did a really good job as the lead hero in this duo.
I never saw the lead hero thing. There's more to crime fighting than the actual fighting.
Oh, I know. But he was also the brains of the organization. He took the lead in getting Britt Reed to go on out and do the right thing. He was winning the girl.
This is really good. I'm having such a hard time deciding between the argument between the two of you, because I see both of your points. There's more to being a superhero than being the guy who beats somebody up. I think that is something that Bryan Singer understood in his Superman movie, and the audience didn't.
Yeah, but with his Superman film, what really bothered me was the whole super deadbeat dad thing, but that's a whole other podcast.
But on the other side, Jim has a point. Kind of what Britt Reed did was finance the Green Hornet.
And was the one who said, hey, we could be heroes. And came up with the modus operandi. He's the one who said, let's not set up ourselves as targets saying, hey, we're going to be heroes. Let's pretend to be bad guys and then fight bad guys.
He stumbled into that.
He said it explicitly.
He said it explicitly after they were caught on video doing a bad thing.
I'm not taking sides here. I'm just saying that I see both of your points and I think that they're both valid points.
Is it a fair statement to say that Kato, in his own right, makes for a good hero?
Yes.
Okay. Then we can agree on that particular point.
I wasn't questioning whether Kato was a hero.
It's how that hero is in relation to the Green Hornet, I think, is where our differences lie.
I saw the Green Hornet as a heroic figure. Not necessarily a competent heroic figure, but the things that, to me, a hero is supposed to be, he was genuinely trying to make the effort.
And that goes back to my point about the whole way the story was written, is he was incompetent at the beginning of the movie. Throughout the middle of the movie, he's essentially being trained by Kato. It is the Kato show. And at the end, he comes into his own, and he is the Green Hornet.
Do you think that Kato had such a predominant role within the movie because of the legacy of Bruce Lee and the Kato show?
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Key Luke, I think, was a great character actor, but you don't hear people talking about his time as Kato. And yes, I do know who played Kato in the old serials off the top of my head. Sorry.
I'm so proud of you.
But curiously, I couldn't tell you who played the Hornet.
Interestingly enough, my sister has met Cameron Diaz in passing.
There's a lot of people that your sister has met in passing.
That's what happens when you live and work in Hollywood.
Yeah, that whole degrees of separation game just isn't any fun anymore. Sarah makes it too easy.
So my question, of course, would be, how did Cameron Diaz do as Lenore? And I really don't know, personally, how to compare her to anything else. Cameron Diaz is, generally speaking, eye candy.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, she's another one. She's good at playing Cameron Diaz. She wasn't the Lenore case from TV. She wasn't the Lenore case from the radio. She was good at this, the eye candy.
It was funny to see Seth Rogen's Britt Reed referring to her as a cougar, because I don't think of Cameron Diaz as being a cougar, but then again, I sometimes have to stop and remember that I'm 40 years old now. I think of a cougar as a woman who's older than we are, and that's just not the case anymore.
Yeah, it's one of those things. We are officially at the generally same age as the typical cougar.
When did we get old?
I've been working on it probably the past 25 years, personally.
That being said, Lenore Case was really not a very dominant character, either in the radio show or even necessarily in the TV show. She was the, hey, this publisher needs a secretary, let's give him a secretary. So Cameron Diaz as a secretary did a fine job. Lenore Case being kind of the brains of the organization was interesting.
Yeah, and it's consistent with the versions of the story where Lenore Case was in on it.
Yes. Diaz's case was far more active in the Green Hornet organization in comparison to the other two. The other two were just kind of like, oh yeah, boss, we know that you have a double identity. She was more of a, I know that you have a double identity, and boy am I ticked off about it, and you've been using my ideas for what? Now, the casting that caught me the most by surprise was Edward James Olmos as Mike Axford. But then again, when I think of Mike Axford being the fan that I am, I think of the old Irishman. And while Edward James Olmos is a pretty good character actor, he just can't pull off the old Irishman bit for me. Now, admittedly, they didn't try to pass him off as an old Irishman.
No.
And I did think that Edward James almost did a good job with the role that they gave him. I'm much more used to him being more in the lead and not so much a supporting character. So that was a little off-putting too, but he did great with what he was given.
He's vaguely longer in the tooth than the average Hollywood leading man. He's going to start getting more character bits. It happens to them all. James Coburn. Who the hell was Tupper? I don't even remember that character.
Tupper was only in about 5 minutes of the movie. That's why you don't remember him. You might, however, remember Edward Furlong. He was ostensibly the second star of Terminator 2.
He played John Connor.
The kid?
Yes.
Okay.
And in this movie, he had his quote-unquote comeback starring role as the meth pusher that gets busted by the Green Hornet, runs back to the big bad guy, and proceeds to get his brains blown out. Yeah, I was a little shocked when somebody referred to that as his return to stardom, too. What you were unable to see was Ken's brain dying just a little bit.
It's kind of oozing out of his ear right now.
Now, Christopher Waltz. I liked his villain. I liked Chudnovsky, or Bludnovsky.
I liked Chudnovsky a lot better than Bludnovsky.
They were the same character. He was just going a little nuts as the film progressed.
Yeah. And the fact that they had the character go slightly nuts was fine. It was the, I'm going to take my name and put blood in it to make myself sound more menacing than just, yeah.
One of the in-jokes running through the whole movie is people making fun of his name.
Yeah.
It fit the mood of the film.
Yeah.
You didn't like the mood of the film. I mean, that's what it really comes down to here, is you didn't like the mood of the film. You didn't like the fact that they made Green Hornet as a comedy.
That is one of my big beefs.
Whereas I accepted the fact that they made it as a comedy and have accepted it on that level. And I don't expect Doug to get involved in this argument either.
But speaking of Christoph Waltz, I did think that he did a good job as the bad guy. He was just nuts enough to fit well within the confines of this film, and he played it well.
Well, Ken, let's start with you. What are your overall thoughts and your rating for the film?
I think if you can accept the fact that it is not a serious interpretation of the traditional Green Hornet, and yes, I do realize this is going to leave out a number of diehard Green Hornet fans, but if you can accept that caveat about it ahead of time, I think it was a good, enjoyable film. Not a great film, but a fun way to spend a couple hours. And I'll give it 2.5 Gaskins out of 4.
I really kind of wish that this had been the Emerald Bumblebee, or maybe the Crimson Avenger and his sidekick Wing. Maybe then I wouldn't be so judgmental against it. So, looking at it as the Emerald Bumblebee, it was an enjoyable film. I'll give it 2 out of 4 gas guns.
I had a really good time seeing this movie. I said it earlier, I laughed when it was funny, I was on the edge of my seat when it was exciting. As a piece of entertainment, I had a really good time. I give it 3 gas guns out of 4. As a tribute to the franchise, not so much, but it didn't need to be to entertain me.
3 varying opinions that end up coming down to about 1 gas gun difference in the end. It did not make back its money in box office sales, but it is being released on DVD May 3rd. In the end, with Hollywood, it's all about the money. It's probably not going to be the beginning of a new franchise unless it does really good in DVD sales.
Happened before.
Yeah.
As always, we thank you for listening to TwerpCast. We encourage your feedback. Please write jim@twerponline.net. You can also be found on MySpace, Facebook, Zanga, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2011.